Well, welcome to Gwinnett Church. Yeah, my name is Reed. I'm the lead pastor here. If we haven't met, hopefully we'll have a chance to do so in the coming weeks. But yeah, I'm excited to be starting a new series this morning and where this kind of comes from, what we're going to be talking about. So if you were with us last week, North Point Ministries celebrated 30 years of ministry, which is pretty amazing. I know somebody gave a little whistle. Yeah, that's cool, right? You can clap for that. Now, if you're like, North Point, I'm at Gwinnett Church. Let me just tell you what's going on. So here at Gwinnett Church, we are a part of a network of churches called North Point Ministries. It began 30 years ago as one church over in Alpharetta called North Point Community Church. And over the past 30 years, that one church has grown into 8 local churches around the metro Atlanta area. And then also out of that has spun a partnership network with over 200 churches around the country and hundreds more around the globe. And last week we celebrated 30 years of ministry, and that's 30 years, you guys, of people experiencing life change. That's 30 years of families coming in and being formed. That's 30 years of people exploring faith, seeking faith, investigating faith. That's 30 years of people finding faith and growing faith and thriving in their faith. That's 30 years of us doing the very best that we know how to do, you guys. We've certainly not done it perfectly, but that's 30 years of us doing the very best that we could do in inspiring people to follow Jesus and to discover that following Jesus really does make life better and makes us better at life, yeah? And so with that in mind, though, when you come upon milestones like that, 30 years of a church, or maybe you've been at a company for 10 years, for 15 years, for 20 years, right? Like, or maybe you've celebrated an anniversary. I was talking to somebody this morning and they celebrated 50 years. Hello, somebody, right? Like, and so you got some milestones, right? Like, or you have a milestone birthday. This year, I turned 40. What? And so I know some of you are like, you young whippersnapper. And then some of you were like, old. And so like, I'm right there. I'm actually middle-aged. And so 40, right? Like when you hit those milestones, right? It gets you thinking about some things. You kind of become reflective. Like you're looking back on the past and thinking about, you know, what you're grateful for and what you wish you would have done different. And then you're also looking forward to the future and wondering what's next and what am I going to pass on? What am I going to leave behind, right? And so as we've hit the 30-year mark, it's had a lot of us around North Point Ministries thinking about this word right here, legacy. Legacy. And you guys know what a legacy is, right? Legacy is what you leave behind when you're gone. It's what you pass on to the next generation, right? It's the impact that you've made. It's the values and the beliefs that you hand off to other people who are coming after you, right? Like it's the impact of your life on what's next. It's the things that are there after you're gone. And this is your legacy. And the reason why I thought, you know what, like I'm excited to do a series on this is because while we've been thinking about it in our organization and in our churches, it's also been something that I've been thinking about in my life. And the reality is for all of us, you guys, whether you've ever thought about this or not, here's the truth. Everyone leaves a legacy. Everyone leaves a legacy. Of some form or fashion, everyone, every life leaves a legacy, right? You're going to either pass some things on or dump some things on, right? Some people who will come after you. Everyone leaves a legacy. And so the question, right, that we're thinking about or that I've been thinking about is not whether or not we'll leave a legacy, because the truth is, you're going to, for better or for worse, right? Positive or negative. The question isn't, will I leave a legacy? You will. The question is, what kind of legacy will I leave? What kind of legacy is it going to be? Is it going to be healthy or is it going to be unhealthy? Is it going to be positive or is it going to be negative? Is the legacy that I leave going to be a blessing to those that come after me, or is it going to be a burden or leave them with baggage, right? And so this is an important conversation for us to have because we're all going to leave a legacy. And here's what I know about you, even if I don't know you personally in the room, which I try to get to know as many of you as I possibly can, but there's a lot of you and you keep multiplying and we do a scoot. And so, which is great. But here's what I know about you, even if I don't know you, is that when it comes to legacy, if we're all gonna leave a legacy, if I were to ask you what kind of legacy you want to leave, what you would tell me is a positive one. Of course, right? Like nobody's like, nope, trying to dump as much baggage on my kids as possible. I hope they go to counseling. You know what I mean? Like nobody's trying to do that, right? Like nobody wants that. And so if I were to ask you, hey, what kind of legacy do you wanna leave? If you're like, hey, well, if I get to choose, I wanna leave a positive one. I want it to be healthier than what was handed to me. I want it to be a blessing. I want it to be beneficial. I want to leave a positive impact on the next generation or whoever comes after me, whether that's in my family or in my workplace or in my neighborhood, whatever it is. Like I want things to be better when I'm gone. I want to leave a positive legacy. And so if I were to ask you that, you'd say, yeah, of course, that's what I would choose. If it's up to me, I want to leave a good, positive, lasting impact. And the good news, you guys, today that we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks is that you do get to choose. You do get to choose the kind of legacy that you leave. Day after day, each day, one decision at a time, one action at a time, one reaction at a time, you get to choose the legacy that you're gonna leave. You get to choose. The legacy that you pass on one day is actually being shaped by the decisions that you make today. And so you get to choose. And so you guys, it's important for us to be thinking about this. So regardless of how old you are, right? Whether you're 17 or you're 70 in the room, right? Regardless of what season of life you're in, whether you're single, you're married, you're divorced, whether you got kids or you don't got kids, whether you're retired, empty nesting, recently widowed, whatever that is, like regardless of what season of life you find yourself in, this is an important conversation for us to have because we're all gonna leave a legacy and the legacy that we pass on is actually being shaped by the decisions and the choices and the lives that we live today. So that's what we're gonna be talking about for the next few weeks. We're gonna be talking about legacy. And in order to guide our conversation, you guys, what we're gonna do is we're just gonna be camped out in a book of the Bible called 2 Timothy. And so we're gonna be there for the next 3 weeks. And so we're gonna be in 2 Timothy. And so if you have a Bible and you wanna bring it along, I would love for you to do that. It keeps me honest. You can check my work. And so you can bring your Bible along. We'll be in 2 Timothy. Or if you just wanna read along at home, I'm not gonna be able to teach every single verse of 2 Timothy in 3 weeks or else Wombaland would really hate us. And so we'd be here way too long. So I'm only gonna be able to teach a few things out of this, but you could read along if you'd like at home in 2 Timothy and see what else it's got to say. Now, if you're here today and you don't have a Bible, but you would like one and you're like, hey, I'd like to have one of those and I'd like to follow along as well, then you can stop by one of our guest service kiosks on the way out today, and we would love to give you a Bible. That is our gift to you. And even if you never come back, you can keep the Bible. Isn't that crazy? And so that would be our gift to you. And so we hope that you'll grab that. But again, that's no pressure, only opportunity. I'm always gonna have it up here. But so for the next 3 weeks though, we're gonna be in this book of the Bible, 2 Timothy. And when I say book, it's really not a book. We call them books of the Bible. It's really a letter. It's a letter, and it's a letter written by a guy named Paul. And if you're new around here and you're not familiar with Paul, we talk a lot about this guy around Gwinnett Church. You're gonna hear us talk a lot about him and for good reason. And that's because you guys, Paul was and is one of the most influential Christians in all of human history, right? Which is amazing because when you meet him for the first time, when he first steps onto the pages of history, Paul was actually a Christian hater. He actually oversaw the murder of Christians. He wanted to stamp out Christianity, and that is until he had a life-changing encounter with the resurrected Jesus. You can read all about it in Acts chapter 9. He has this life-changing encounter with the resurrected Jesus, and it ends up, he becomes a Jesus follower, and more than that, he becomes a missionary and a church planner, and he ends up writing a majority of what we would call our New Testament of your Bibles, right? And so 2 Timothy is one of the letters, one of the things that he wrote, and he wrote it to a young man, you can tell by the title, a young man named Timothy. Yeah, you guys are always so timid about that, as if I'm gonna just juke you. I'm not gonna do that to you. I am your pastor, I love you, and I want you to succeed. So I'm trying to get you in the win column this morning, okay? So he writes this letter, right? The letter of 2 Timothy, Paul writes it to this young man named Timothy. And just a little bit on Timothy. Timothy was a protege, an apprentice, a mentee, somebody who traveled with Paul and learned from Paul, and somebody who Paul cared about deeply. And you know that he meant a lot to Paul, because Paul actually, when he's writing this letter, Paul actually is writing to Timothy, and Timothy is in a place called Ephesus, which is in modern day Turkey. And he is pastoring a church that Paul had actually planted and started, and Paul entrusted Timothy with leading that church, which is a really, really big deal. You know, if you've started something, you want whoever you hand it off to handle it well. And so that's what Timothy is doing. And Paul is writing this letter to Timothy to encourage him, because it's been a difficult season. You know, the people who weren't Christians were making life difficult. And then also the Christians were making life difficult because church people can be awful, right? And so, but not you guys. You guys are fantastic. And so, So he's writing to encourage him. Things have been hard, it's challenging. He's a young leader, and he's also writing, though, because you guys, here, he can see, Paul's writing, and he can see the end for him is near. And he wants to make sure that he passes the baton well. And he wants to make sure that Timothy handles the things that have been handed to him and handles them well, and then in turn also passes them off well. As a matter of fact, when Paul is writing this letter, he's writing from a jail. It's a prison that you can still actually visit today. It's called the Mamertine Prison in Rome. And I think we have some pictures here. I got to visit this recently. These are not my pictures. These are from Google. But my pictures just weren't very good. It was way darker than I thought it was going to be. And so, but you can go and visit this. And I had the opportunity earlier this year to go and visit. And this is actually the top, and that hole in the ground is where they would lower you in to the jail. And then this is what the cell would look like. And this is the setting where Paul is writing this letter from. And you're like, well, how did he get a pin? You know what I mean? Like, he's in a hole. Which is interesting to think, but really the way jails worked back then is they would put you down there, but then you could have family and friends visit you, and whatever supplies they could scrounge up and fit through that hole, they could hand you and they could take care of you. And so Paul, you'll see, often will ask for things like, hey, get my jacket and send it to me. It's cold here. Or send me my books or my scrolls. And so people could come and they could bring those things and deliver them to them. And so Paul, though, is sitting in that jail cell, and he's writing this letter to Timothy, knowing that the end for him is near. And you can just tell from the writing, if you read through the book of 2 Timothy, you can tell that he knows he's probably not getting out of this one. Which is wild to think, you guys, because if you follow the story of Paul, he's been in some tight spots before. He's been arrested before. He's been beaten. He was actually flogged before, which is like a serious beating that the Romans would do. And so he's been flogged. He was stoned one time, not recreationally, like actually like with rocks until he died. Like he got stoned one time and left for dead, only to be nurtured back to health. And so he's been in some tight spots. He's been shipwrecked, he's been snake bitten, and yet for some reason this time he's realizing he can sense. I'm probably not gonna walk away from this one. I've walked away from some stuff, but I'm probably not gonna walk away from this one. And so the letter is tender, and it's intentional, and it's passionate because he cares about Timothy, but it's also kind of intense. And there's a sense of urgency to it because he knows his time is short. And I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to talk to somebody who they know their time is short. I'll just go ahead and tell you guys, in my line of work, I have that opportunity. And I've had that opportunity a number of times. And it is, you guys, it is both heartbreaking, but also it can be so amazing and inspiring. Because I'll just go ahead and tell you, when you talk to somebody who knows their time is short, they don't mince words. They don't waste words. And they wanna address what needs to be addressed. They wanna say the things that have maybe gone unspoken. They wanna deal with some stuff. They wanna be direct. They wanna be to the point. They wanna make sure that the people and the things that they care about get taken care of after they're gone, right? Like when, and that's what's happening in this letter of 2 Timothy. Paul's wanting to make sure he passes the baton of faith well, the baton of leadership well. He wants to make sure that the baton doesn't get fumbled. He wants to make sure Timothy picks it up and lives well, but he also wants to make sure that Timothy is thinking about who he's gonna pass it on to, even though Timothy is a young leader at the time. He's wanting him to already be thinking about who he's gonna hand it off to. And so a theme throughout this letter is the theme of legacy. And you're gonna see it all throughout the letter as we talk for the next couple weeks, this theme of legacy. And so this morning, let's just take a look at where Paul begins this conversation on legacy and passing the baton and what's gonna last after he's gone. This is what Paul says. He begins 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. He says, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so Paul begins the letter as most ancient letters begin, where he introduces himself and then he addresses who this letter is to. And it's interesting here that he calls Timothy his dear son. But something that you need to know is that when he calls him his dear son, Timothy was not Paul's biological son. He was not actually Paul's son, right? As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul was a single man for his entire life and he had no kids. And so if you're a single person in the room, let me just say this. Listen, marriage is beautiful. Marriage is amazing. Marriage is a gift from God. It is a picture of God's love for his church. But it does not define you and it does not determine your potential or impact. Paul is a single man. Never bears kids, massive impact. Jesus, single man, never married, never has kids, massive impact. And so marriage can be a gift, it can be a blessing, it's certainly a gift for our own sanctification and for us actually growing, but right, it does not define us and it does not determine our impact. And so Paul is writing to this young man and he calls him his dear son, but that's not his actual son. This is just somebody that he invested in, that he poured into, that he helped mentor and apprentice and shape. I love what Andy has often said. Andy Stanley, our teaching pastor, has often said that the greatest legacy that you might have may not be something that you do or something that you say. It may be somebody you raise or somebody you invest in. And for Paul, Timothy is a part of his legacy. And so he addresses him, Timothy, my dear son. He's going like, look, you're a big deal. You're a part of my legacy. And I gotta say some things to you. And so this is what he says. He says, I thank God whom I serve. He says, I serve God. And then he says, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. So Paul He can sense that his time is short, and he's looking ahead to the future, and he's imagining what's gonna happen when he's no longer there, and he's wanting to make sure that certain things get passed on and that certain things live on and that he leaves a legacy. But with his mind towards the finish line and towards the future, he pauses here at the very beginning to actually remind Timothy of his past. As he looks ahead towards the future and the legacy that he's gonna leave and that he hopes Timothy will leave, he first pauses to remind Timothy of his past. Why does he do that? Because the truth is, you guys, we all have two legacies. All of us have two legacies. There's the one you'll leave, and there's the one you received. There's the one you leave, and then there's the one you received. You received a legacy. And Paul is reminding Timothy of the legacy that he received. And the reason why I think he's reminding him of what he received is because, and you guys know this, what we receive, whether that be from family or from our community or from the church or from a coach or from a mentor, what you received, whether that be from your culture, whatever that is, what you receive has a funny way of shaping who you are right now and what you leave, right? What you received has a tendency to get passed on and be what you leave, doesn't it? A lot of times, what was handed to us has a tendency to pass on through us, doesn't it? A lot of times, what was handed to us has a tendency to pass on through us, and that could be positive or negative. Could be wealth, it could be poverty. Could be education, it could be addiction. It could be fear and hate. It could be faith and hope, right? But oftentimes, you guys, what was handed to us has a tendency to pass on through us. That's why we see things that pass on from generation to generation to generation. It's why the other day when you and your wife were in an argument, she said, "You're just like your father." Because what's handed to us has a tendency to pass on through us. And in Timothy's case, you guys, that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? As a matter of fact, Paul's pointing out the good things and the positive aspect of this, right? And he says, hey, Timothy, you've received some things that are worth paying attention to and passing on. There were some things that were handed to you that you should be handing off to the next generation. Namely, he says, your sincere faith. He goes, man, that's a really, really cool thing. He says, your grandma and your mom, they passed on something to you that is beautiful, that is powerful, that's worth passing on to the next generation. Don't miss that. Pay attention to it. Give thanks for it. Steward it well so that it gets handed on, because that thing that was passed to you is worth passing through you to others. I wonder this morning, you guys, I wonder what positive things have been handed to you. I wonder what positive things were poured into you. I wonder what healthy and amazing things were put in your life or modeled for you. I wonder what good things did you receive that are worth being passed on to someone else. I was at a wedding this past weekend, and it was a wedding for a young man, and he was in the from the very beginning of my time in ministry. So this is years and years ago when I very first started in student ministry. He was a young man that was in my ministry, and he found me on Instagram, as people do. And so he DM'd me and asked if I would do his wedding. We ended up getting together. I got to hear some of his stories, really cool, and I got to go be a part of this young man's wedding. And when I was there, though, there was other people that were at the wedding that were like from those early years of my faith, and honestly, from even some of these people at the wedding, they knew me before I knew Jesus. And so they see me up there, and they're like, "What?" No, I'm teasing. I saw this one lady, and she walked up to me, and she grabbed my shoulders, you guys, and she looked at me, And it was like an awkwardly long time that she was looking at me. I was like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? Like, she looks at me for this awkwardly long time and she gets teary-eyed. And she says, what we just sang, she goes, what a God. I was like, me? No, not you. She goes, I remember. She says, I can't believe this is where you're at. She goes, I remember your mom making her way to the church. You guys, my mom made her way to the church when I was in probably sixth grade. Our family was a mess. My dad was trying to get out of alcoholism. My mom was looking for help. She makes her way to church. She gets into a women's group. She's trying to model faith for us at home, but she never really had it modeled all that well at home for herself. But she starts praying for her boys. And I was, y'all, I was a mess. And this lady reminded me, she said, Reed, I remember when you were a junior in high school and you got alcohol poisoning and you spent a couple days in the hospital. She said, I remember when you were hanging with the wrong crowd. And I remember when you were making a mess of your life and me and your mom and a couple other women at the church would get on our knees and pray for you. And ask God to do a work in you. And ask God to send you good friends and to put some people around you. She said, look at you now. And you guys, I was reminded, I did not get here on my own. I am the product of a praying mom. Amen. And maybe you are too. Yeah, you can clap for that. I'm the product of a praying mom. And now, you guys, here's what I love. With that being modeled for me, you know what I do every night with my kids? We pray. And I pray, gosh, I pray. I pray that they would make wise decisions. I pray that they would be good friends and have good friends. And I pray most of all that they will know the love of Jesus and that they will live in love like Jesus, right? And we pray it every single night. But I didn't get that on my own. That was handed to me. Yes? That was passed on to me. And Paul writes to Timothy and he goes, hey, remember what was passed on to you. There were some things, Timothy, that you got handed that you need to handle with care and make sure that gets passed on to the next generation. Now, here's what I know, is that some of you in the room, though, this morning, you're like, you're thinking to yourself, hey, good for Timothy, good for you. That's not my story. There are some of you and you're in here this morning and you are thinking, look, that's not my story. I wasn't handed some legacy of faith. I wasn't handed much in the way of positivity. I wasn't handed much that I feel like I would ever want to hand to anybody else. There's some of you in here this morning and you're thinking, all I got handed was dysfunction. All I got handed was anger. All I got handed was addiction. All I got handed was abuse. All I got handed was silence. All I got handed was performance-based love. All I got handed was maybe no love at all. All I got modeled for me was religion with no relationship, with no grace. All I got handed was that. I got handed rules, no relationship. Some of you are going, yo, that's what I was handed. And if that's what I was handed, then pastor, what kind of legacy could I possibly leave? What do I do with that? I want to encourage you with something this morning. If you feel like, yo, that's my story. And it's actually back in this passage, but it's found not in what Paul says, but in something that he doesn't say. And so we'll go back to the passage real quick. This is what he says. He says, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did. And he talks about, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother and your mother and now lives in you. And so he mentions Timothy's grandmother. He mentions Timothy's mother. But do you notice somebody that he doesn't mention? Who? Dad. Dad gets no mention. Now, here's what we do. If you do a little bit of research, you do a little bit of homework, you go back and you know that Timothy did in fact have a dad. He had a dad and he's mentioned in Acts chapter 16. What Acts chapter 16 tells us is that Timothy's dad was a Greek. And what's implied by that statement that his dad was a Greek is that he did not share his mom and grandmother's faith. And so he didn't share the same faith. And now we don't know much more about Timothy's dad. We don't know his name. We don't know his profession. We don't know what role, if any, he played in Timothy's upbringing. Some scholars think that maybe his dad died when he was younger, and so Timothy was just raised by mom and grandma. That's a possibility. But the fact that he's mentioned in Acts chapter 16, when Paul actually picks up Timothy, it actually alludes to the fact that his dad was probably in the picture, but he just didn't want to play a role. He didn't share the same faith, and so Timothy's home was one of competing philosophies, competing views. Some of you know exactly what that's like. There's competing philosophies and competing views, and the fact that Timothy ends up on the side of grandma and mom and sharing that faith, it tells us that his dad was either indifferent at best or probably, because of the religious climate at the time, his dad was probably abrasive, antagonistic. His dad probably acted and behaved in such a way that it actually drove Timothy towards mom and grandma. And I say all that to not to bash Timothy's dad. I didn't know him. You know what I mean? Like, I say all that to tell you, listen, Timothy received some good things that are worth passing on, and Paul wanted to remind him of that. But what you also see in this story and what we're also reminded of is that while Timothy was handed some good things, he did not inherit a perfect legacy. Yes? He did not inherit a perfect legacy. And you didn't either. And I didn't either. None of us do. None of us inherit a flawless legacy where everything's worth being passed on, right? As a matter of fact, if you study scripture, nobody receives or models this perfectly. I love what Eugene Peterson says. He says this, a search of scripture turns up one surprising truth. There are no exemplary families. Not a single family is portrayed as the model of family for all of us to look up to. The biblical material consistently portrays the family not as the Norman Rockwell group beaming in gratitude around a Thanksgiving turkey, but as a series of broken relationships in need of redemption. And so listen, maybe you were handed dysfunction. Maybe you were handed addiction, maybe you were handed abuse, maybe you were handed hurt or hate, maybe you were handed some things that aren't, they're not, it's not fair, it's not right, it doesn't make it okay. You were handed some things that you would never want to hand on to others. What I'm encouraged by in this quote, what I am encouraged by in the story of Timothy, and what I am encouraged by again and again in the story of Scripture, is that just because you come from brokenness doesn't mean you have to hand off brokenness. And just because you came from dysfunction doesn't mean that you have to pass on dysfunction. As a matter of fact, the good news of the gospel, you guys, for each and every one of us, is this, that the legacy you received does not have to be the legacy you leave. The legacy you received does not have to be the legacy you leave. We serve a God of grace. We serve a God of forgiveness. We serve a God of redemption and second chances. And because of that, you guys, the legacy you received does not have to be the legacy you leave. As a matter of fact, Paul's gonna, we'll end with this thought right here. Paul's gonna leave Timothy with this right here, or we're gonna leave off with this. He says, for this reason, I wanna remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. He tells Timothy, hey, look, like, steward well what was good that was given to you so that it gets passed on. So fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then he says, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline. Paul says to Timothy, he says, hey, look, I want you to remember what was handed to you. And the stuff that's worth passing on, steward it well. Fan into flame, take care of it. Treat it well so it gets passed on to others. He says, but also remember that God, by his grace and by his goodness, has put his spirit. When you put your faith in him, he puts his spirit in you, and his spirit is full of power, courage, love, and self-discipline, which means that in Christ, you guys, you have everything you need to break the cycle. In Christ, you have everything you need to change the story. In Christ, you have everything you need to hand off something better, healthier, more purpose-filled, more beautiful, and better than anything that was handed to you. Paul says that in Christ, you have a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline, meaning that in Christ, you have the ability to change the story, and the legacy that was handed to you does not have to be the legacy that you hand off next. Amen? Now, I'm gonna close with this, because there's a beautiful picture of redemption that I got the other day, and then we'll challenge us with a little thought exercise this week. 2 years ago, I got a phone call in the middle of the night. It was like 10:30, and I looked over and I screened it because I didn't know the number, and it's 10:30 at night, why are you calling me? And so I screened it, and immediately after I screened it, you guys, I got a text message. It said, "Is this Reed Moore from South Gwinnett High School?" And I was like, "Phew, if they know me from there, woo." So I thought, what is this? Is this the police? You know what I mean? Like, so I was thinking, oh my goodness. And so, and I said, "Yes, it is. Who is this?" And it said, "This is Al Clove. I wanna talk to you." And now Al Clove is somebody that played football with me growing up, you guys. He was the running back at South Gwinnett High School at the time, and we played ball together. And Al, he moved in when we were juniors, and Al came from all kinds of dysfunction, you guys. He came from a mess of a situation. It was single mom, and she's trying to do the best she can with what she's been given, which wasn't much. Dad's not in the picture. When he was in the picture, it was violence and it was drugs. And so this is what's being modeled for him. And I can remember me and Al, we would hang out a lot. Our lockers were right next to each other. And so we would talk a lot. We were often workout partners, and he was way better than me. So I was always trying to keep up with him. And we would talk a lot before games, and he would spend the night at my house. And so when we're hanging out, I can remember Al saying when we were younger, he said, "Hey, you know what? I'm never going to be like my dad." And then he said, "I'm never going to get married and have kids." He's like, I don't want to hand off any of this garbage. He's like, "I don't want to bring any of that into the world." And so I remember him saying that at a young age. We're like 16, 17, 18 years old. And then we graduate, we part ways, and we hadn't talked to each other. And now all of a sudden we're jumping on the phone, and Al's telling me what's happened in the past years, almost decades at this point, right? And he says, "Hey, Reed, I just wanted you to know, I saw online that you're a pastor now. And I think that's amazing." He said, "I met a lady, a woman, and she loved me patiently, man. And she's a woman of faith. And she got me to start coming to church." He said, "I started going to church, and while I was at church," he said, "I ended up putting my faith in Jesus." He said, "I put my faith in Jesus, Reed, and I got some men around me, some older men around me that are holding me accountable and teaching me stuff that my dad never did." And he said, "And now, Reed, get this, I got 6 kids." I said, from the man that said he wasn't gonna have kids, I said, "You got 6 kids? Man, bro." He said, "And listen, he said, "I got 6 kids." And he says, "And you know what's amazing?" He goes, "I'm getting to be something that I never had." And he said, "I pray with my kids." He says, "We go to church together." He goes, "I'm present." He goes, I work during the week." He's a truck driver, you guys. He says, "I work during the week, but I make sure I'm home every weekend to take my kids to church." And he goes, "I just wanted to call and tell you where I was at." And you guys, that is a story of redemption, and it's a reminder of the good news of the gospel, that the legacy you receive does not have to be the legacy that you leave. So, as we talk about legacy, the best starting point is to first consider what was left to us, so that we can safeguard and ensure that we pass on the right things, but that some of the things that were left to us don't pass on through us, yes? And so, something that I wanna leave us with this morning, a little thought exercise. I would love it if this week, before we get into the legacy that we're gonna leave and how we're living right now, I'd love it this week if you would think about this. What was handed to you? What was handed to you? Good or bad? And what do you hope to hand to somebody else? I'd love for you to take some time this week and just 3 little things. I'd love for you to think about what was handed to you. Honestly, What were some of those things? What were the things that were modeled for you? What did you see growing up? What was handed to you in the form of legacy? And then here's what I'd love for you to do, and we're gonna give you some space to do it this morning, but I'd love for you to give thanks to God for the good stuff that was handed to you, the good stuff that was modeled. That may not have been at home. It may have been a coach or a teacher or a mentor. It may have been though a family member or a sibling, but give thanks to God for those things. And then I'd love, as you think about those things, the negative stuff, I would love it if we would take some time to surrender that. It's gonna require us to open up our hands and maybe to begin to learn how to forgive and to let go. We might need all the power, love, and self-discipline that God can muster within us. You might need some counseling along the way. You might need to extend some forgiveness. You might need some repentance. You might need the help of some others, a community around you. You're definitely gonna need some time. But if we can begin to release some of that stuff and to surrender that to God and to invite God in, then you guys, he can write a new and better story. And the legacy you received doesn't necessarily have to be the one you leave. You can leave healthier, you can leave better. And a legacy of faith may not have been what was handed to you, but a legacy of faith can come through you. Thanks be to God. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the encouragement that we got to read this morning of Paul encouraging Timothy. And thank you that through his words to that young man, we could be encouraged in our own stories this morning. And I just pray that you would help us to reflect honestly on the legacy that was handed to us. I pray that we would think honestly about the good, the bad, the ugly, all of that, and that we would consider it, because what is passed to us has a funny way, a tendency to pass right on through us to future generations. And we wanna make sure that we eat the fish and we spit out the bones. That we wanna make sure that we pass on what's good, but we leave in the past that which is not worthy of passing on. And we know that we need your help. And so I just pray you would help us. Help us to process these things honestly. Help us to process these things with you and with others. Help us to be thankful for and to steward well the good things that have been handed to us. Help us to steward and to forgive and to leave behind those things which are not worthy to be handed on and passed on to others. Help us in the room today. Help us to leave legacies better than what we received. Help us to leave things healthier than what we received. Help us to set up the future generations better than even we were set up ourselves. Father, we love you, we trust you, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.